All right, well, let me invite you, if you're still in here, to turn to the Gospel of Matthew today. We're going to head over to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're grabbing a Pew Bible, page 684 will be helpful. The words will be on the screen behind me. And so we've got you covered. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to pick it up in verse 21 today and read through 26, and then we'll pray, and then I'll say some things, we'll dive in, and then I'll throw out a few questions at the end. We'll do as we do. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, we read, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or a sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raka,' is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled. Be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." Let's pray. God, as we now dive into your word, we ask that you would pour out your spirit. As Tammy prayed, that we would have ears to hear, that we would have hearts that are open to what it is that you want to teach us. As we do that, we are mindful of those not with us today, some traveling, some are ill. Some perhaps wanting to escape the heat. But God, as we invite you to be here with us, we also invite you to be with those who are not here, that you would even now pour out your spirit upon them as well. As we now dive in, Lord, would you, as always, be over and under and all through my words. We commit this time, this worship, this teaching. May it be to your purpose and glory, and maybe may it be for our benefit. Amen. So it is no secret that life is hard, right? It doesn't surprise really anyone when I say that relationships are difficult. Now, in saying that, I do not mean in any way to diminish the joy and the wonder and the beauty and the delight that is all around us, that is in and through and all over creation. I do not mean in any way to diminish the joy and the beauty and the wonder and delight that is each one of you. I do not mean to diminish, for example, Psalm 8, where it reads, opening line, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings, that you care for them? You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor." And yet, perhaps, it is because of Psalm 8, right, that we see the disparity, that because of Psalm 8 drives home this idea that, yes, life is hard, that, yes, relationships are difficult. Which is why, as we've seen over these past several weeks, couple of months, Paul, over and over and over again, pushing back against what he says is division, schisma in the Greek, right? Pushing back against all the sorts of ways that we go sideways. All of the sorts of ways that we are at odds with one another. All of the division and the disunity, right? The schisma, all of the conflict and the dispute and the disagreement. But it's not just Paul. Jesus himself speaks to this reality, specifically from Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and all the way through 40 through 48, all the way through to the end of the chapter. Jesus speaking himself into the very real and personal and difficult and painful stuff of life. And so for the next couple of weeks, I want to, well, probably for the next month, and then in the fall, we're going to head into some Old Testament passages. I'm looking forward to that. But for this month, I want us to look at some of these teachings of Jesus speaking into the hard stuff of life, speaking into the midst of the difficulty of relationships, right? Into the midst of all of the challenges that we face. And today we begin with 5 and 21. But before we go there, I want us to jump back just for a moment to 4 and 17. Matthew 4 and 17, it reads there, from that time on. From that time on, it's one word in the Greek, it's tota. And it's important for us because tota connects what has been with what is still ahead. And what has been is the incarceration of John. John the Baptist, John the forerunner of Jesus, John the one that was pointing us toward Messiah Jesus. But not only the incarceration, but with that we have this whole sort of gut-wrenching, heartbreaking story. Beginning with King Herod, who divorces his wife. He then marries his sister-in-law, his brother Philip's wife. And history tells us that he then goes to war against his former father-in-law. And then we read about his stepdaughter doing some erotic kind of dancing. There's hints of this ancestral sort of lust in that text. And then to wrap it up, King Herod has John killed, right? He is beheaded. And so contextually, there is all sorts of brokenness and betrayal. To use Paul's words, there's all sorts of division, right? Schisma, right? Conflict, dispute, disagreement, to say the least. And in the midst of all that, then we read from that time on, right? Connecting what Jesus is going to be teaching us, connecting it to the very real and personal and difficult and painful and challenging, hard stuff of life. And it's into then all of that life is hard, and into all of that relationships are difficult, that Jesus steps in, giving us this teaching, this instruction, where he begins, "You have heard that it was said, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." So Jesus, he begins by taking us back to Moses, back up on Mount Sinai, back to the two stones, back to the 10 words. And Jesus, he quotes Exodus 20 and 13, which reads simply, "You shall not murder." And then he follows that up with Numbers 35, where we read, "Do not accept a ransom for the life of a murderer who deserves to die. They are to be put to death." Now keep in mind here that in the Hebrew there are several words for killing or to kill. Ratzah is the Hebrew word here. And so it's most definitively, murder is the best translation of ratzah. Ratzah, it carries a sense of deliberation. We could almost say in today's language, maybe premeditation. And so Jesus says, right? He says, "You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." He then goes on, verse 22, "But I tell you, I say to you," which is an ancient pedagogical formula. This would have been used by the ancient scribes and rabbis when they were teaching, and they would reference a law or a tradition And they would say, you know, you've heard that it was said, but, and then they would go on to quote an authority, perhaps Rabbi Hillel or Rabbi Shammai. But notice Jesus here, he doesn't quote another authority. He says, but I say to you, I tell you, right? Jesus is the authority. He says, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Noting judgment here, krisis in the Greek. And notice that it's the same sort of consequence, both for murder and for this anger that Jesus is speaking of. So Jesus, he says, do not murder, right? He's down with that. He's good with the whole do not murder thing. I think we are too. But not only that, right? He goes on and he says, do not be angry with another. Now, to get at that, there are a couple of different, I think, common Greek words for anger. Thumos is one of those words. Think of thumos as kind of a venting. Right, as kind of a anger that kind of comes up quickly, kind of like an outburst. It's been described as being like the flame which comes from dried straw, right? It quickly flares up, and then just as quickly it dies down. Then there is orge, which is the word we have here, is described as more as a disposition. It's deep-rooted, maybe long-lived. We can think of orge as maybe like a blanket, right? It's an anger that we don't or we won't let go of. Think of it as more like nursing a grudge. Think of it as holding on to a resentment. Maybe embracing a bitterness. And it's that anger that we read of in James 1 and 20, where it says that anger, orge, does not produce the righteousness that God desires. From the scholar William Barclay, Jesus forbids forever the anger which broods, the anger which will not forget, the anger which refuses to be pacified, the anger which seeks revenge. Now, the point here is that this anger that Jesus is talking about here, it's not a momentary sort of flaring up of anger. It's not a venting. It's not just this kind of quick outburst that just as quickly dies down. But again, think of it as more of a disposition. As theologian Karl Vaught puts it, it's like a smoldering cauldron of anger that lives just beneath the surface of life. Right? At any moment, it's ready to explode. Meaning that Jesus is saying, even if you have never been intent on murdering, right, and I hope that's true for each one of us, right, even if you're not about this whole murdering thing, Jesus says this kind of deep-seated anger, he says, in effect, it's just as toxic. It's just as toxic to your own soul as it is to those around you. Which is why Jesus goes on, drawing out a couple of examples here. Would have been familiar words that come out of that sort of an anger. He says, again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. Raka, from the Aramaic, it's the sound that you might make when you're gathering up your saliva to spit on somebody. When you're kind of clearing your throat, ready to spit in someone's face. It's this idea of despising another. Think of it as despising another, having this utter contempt. In today's language, it might be throwing out any number of expletives that denigrate or diminish or devalue, that disregard another. Raka. Jesus goes on, and anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. That word fool from moros. Moros, it's where we get our word moron. It's this idea of looking down on someone. It's this idea of seeing the other as less than. Again, it's that idea of devaluing another. And in effect, again, Jesus says, yeah, don't do murder, absolutely. But listen, listen up, pay attention, right? This idea of that nursing a grudge or harboring or holding on to a resentment or embracing that bitterness, right? Rakah, moros. Right, that sort of denigrating and diminishing and devaluing of another, that having contempt and looking down upon. Now, don't think of this as kind of an ancient guide to sentencing, right? Which sort of leads that way. These are not meant as, from the text here, right? That this offense, there is judgment, and then we read that this one, you're answerable to the court, and then, sorry, but right now you go straight to hell. Right, this is not a sort of progressive sentencing structure. Again, what he is saying, though, is that anger, right? Anger that becomes lodged in your heart and your mind. Right? That spitting in another's face, holding a contempt for, a disdain, looking down upon, devaluing, diminishing, disregarding. In the words of author Tim Suttle, that will put you on a trajectory like an escalating crescendo of death. And before you know it, you're cut off from yourself. You don't even know who you are anymore. You're cut off from your community. They can't trust you. And finally, you cut yourself off from God, which is hell. And so again, Jesus, he's absolutely down with do not murder. But keep in mind, to Jesus, God's heart is more than, is there a dead body? God's heart is more than just, is there a dead body, right? The way we do life together, the way we treat one another. Jesus is saying that matters. That matters. We can think back even to the past few weeks, the Apostle Paul, when he was speaking to the body, the church as a body, right? And what does he remind us, right? That every part has value. Every part has worth. Right? He said, each one of you belongs. Every one of you belongs. Every part, he says, matters. Jesus, then he moves on. He's now going to close, kind of wrap up with a couple of stories. This is where we'll wrap it up. Two illustrations. Verse 23, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. There's a sense of immediacy here, right? Like, don't wait. Don't put it off. First, he says, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Verse 25, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still. It says, together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge. The judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. And so there's two illustrations here, right? Kind of both driving home the same point. And so kind of following this storyline, right, we can imagine you kind of doing life. And in the midst of life, as we all are very much aware, it's no secret, it's not a surprise, right? Life is hard, relationships are difficult, and there's conflict, and there's disputes, and there's disagreements. We don't see eye to eye on everything. And with that, then anger, right? Sometimes anger starts to come up, right? And it starts to seep in. And Jesus says, be careful, because as that anger starts to seep in, as it starts to go deeper into your bones, right? As it moves into what he describes as orge, right? That smoldering cauldron of toxic sort of contempt, right? But it doesn't stop there, right? Then we start throwing out these expletives, right? Rakah, moros, right? Denigrating, diminishing, devaluing, disregarding. And then you come to service on a Sunday morning, for example. You come to the altar, right, and you come with your gift. And so Jesus says, nope, stop, not a chance. It's not going to happen. Right? He says, first, go. And he says, be reconciled. Dialosomai in the Greek. It means to restore to friendly relations. Be restored to friendly relations. In the same way we read then in the second illustration, it says, opening phrase, it says, settle matters quickly. That's literally to make friends quickly. Right? And so Jesus says, no, hold up. Stop. First, right? Seek reconciliation. Seek restoration. From the scholar William Barclay, he sums it up like this. He says, we sometimes wonder why there is a barrier between us and God. The reason may well be that we ourselves have erected that barrier through being at variance with our neighbors, or because we have wronged someone and have done nothing to put things right. Jesus is quite clear about the basic fact that we cannot be right with God until we have done our best to make things right with one another. Now again, we get it. Life is hard. Life is hard. Relationships are difficult. There will be, as Paul tells us, there will be schisma. Right? There will be times of conflict and dispute and disagreement. And in the midst of that, absolutely do not murder. But just as much, Jesus says, pay attention to your anger. Pay attention to your anger, meaning if you never get to murdering, and I hope you don't, Jesus says, this kind of deep-seated anger, right? This nursing a grudge, this holding on to resentment, this bitterness that you have in your heart, he said, that is just as toxic, not only to your own soul, but in the way that it leaks out to all those around you. Which then brings us to consider, what about you and me? What about you and me? Because I know, right? We're all very nice, kind, sweethearted Christians. But if we set that aside just for a moment, and maybe consider, what place does anger have in my life? What place does anger have in my relationships? Maybe we could begin with, what role does thumos play in my life and relationships? And I know that's not the word that Jesus uses here, but I think we still need to pay attention to it. Right? Those outbursts, those venting of our emotions. Right? What role does thumos play in my life and relationships? Right? Again, those flare-ups, those outbursts. Because I think even those, even that kind of anger left unexamined, can start to sink in deep, can start to take hold, and pretty soon we're facing into what Jesus says is orge. So where do I find thumos showing up in my life and relationships? And then we can ask, where in my life do I notice that disposition of orge? Where do I find that sort of a disposition? And again, think, where am I nursing or holding on to that grudge? Where is there resentment in my heart? Where am I experiencing a bitterness? And then to really kind of wrap it up here, we can maybe ask, how is my anger manifesting? Where is my anger showing up? Right? Is it raka? Is it moros? Is it sarcasm and gossip? Cynicism? Right? We can ask, what words am I using to speak to and about others? What words am I choosing to speak to and about others? Raka, morose, fool, idiot, stupid. Right, are the expletives anything that denigrates or devalues or diminishes or disregards another? Jesus says enough. It's toxic. And then to close it out, again, in the midst of the hard stuff of life, in the midst of the difficulties of relationships, with whom is God inviting me to seek reconciliation? With whom is God inviting me to seek reconciliation? With whom is God inviting me to make friends quickly? You have heard that it was said, but I tell you. Let's pray.